This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
You're now in the Essential Zone, where we seek to be informative, inspirational, enlightening, and dynamic. But more importantly, we seek to be fair and balanced. There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The essentials. Serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. And good evening and welcome to The Essentials, The Reset. This evening we're going to have ourselves a wonderful conversation as usual. We are here on the 5th of August. I have to say this, it's the best month of the year. And we are moving very nicely within it. As an individual who follow track and field, I always say to persons that great gifts come in August. Always do. And so today we are going to pause to say congratulations to Stephen Gardner for bringing home the 400-meter final gold in the Olympics. And certainly, you know, he went out and he represented the country at a very high level. Persons obviously had their own take. You know, he ran in a baggy shirt. But when you're confident, you're confident. When you know what you have within you, you just have that. Remember that most great achievements are internal games. So shirts don't run, but legs do. And Stevie understands exactly what he had within him. We also want to pause to say condolences to the family, friends, and the nation at large on the passing of the Honorable A.D. Anna, a founding father, former Governor General, and a very long-serving member of the House of Assembly, member of Parliament, minister in multiple ministry. And we want to say, as a nation builder, the country has lost a big one. It has lost a real fighter. When one goes back and look at the founding fathers, look at the early agitators for self-determination, it's not very difficult to pick out the Honorable A.D. Anna as one of those individuals who know what he was saying, know what he was doing, stick to his gun, and stick to his principle. And certainly we want to say sorry for the passing, but also to say job well done, race well run. And so this evening we are going to be having a conversation with another nation builder. And so we're going to take ourselves a very, very quick break. And when we come back, the man you will hear, you have heard about him. You may even know him, but this evening I'm going to guarantee you that when you hear the other side of him, you're going to be surprised. You're listening to The Essentials, The Reset. I'm your host, Hubert Edwards. Come right back. And welcome back. We played there the celebration song, the song that they use for the medal ceremonies. So we're having our own celebration, our own tip of the hat to Stevie Gardner and all of those persons who have been participating at the Olympics and certainly representing the country and representing the region at large. Dr. Charles Diggis, welcome to The Essentials.
It is so great to be here.
Yes, it's always a pleasure to have the opportunity to sit with individual who I consider to be a nation builder. We have seen you. We have heard about you. You're a man of repute. You are a significant individual in the country. No matter how you slice it, no matter how you may want to play humble, it is what it is. But who exactly, in your own words, is Charles Diggis?
That's a loaded upfront question.
Yes.
So let me just deviate slightly and echo the sentiments to the Hanna family as well. For A.D. Hanna, truly a patriot and a trailblazer and a great example for us all. I also want to give shout out to all of the Bahamians who made it up to the level of participating in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And that will become, as time will show, that will become a significant part of what I believe, which is the mere fact that you are among the best. The winners, a few, but the best, it's that category that I want to attract in this conversation, attract individuals to. So great stuff to the Bahamians who have been able to qualify for and be among the best in the world. And my final deviation goes, and it's sad, it goes basically to our current reality, which is the extent to which COVID-19 is causing a lot of illness and death in our space. It has frankly challenged and even overwhelmed from time to time our public and private resources. Each day is really a day of a test of our capacity and a prayer that we make it to the next day and we're able to provide care to COVID patients as well as we're able to provide safe care to non-COVID patients. So my final deviation is to give a shout out to the healthcare workers who are really heroes on the front lines doing what, you know, you and I can never pay them to do. They're basically in their ministry taking care of our patients. And the deaths, I can only extend to the families the profoundest condolences to deaths that are not anticipated, not expected, and make an appeal. I know this is not a conversation about vaccination, but I will make an appeal as often as I can that, you know, in your sane and rational moments, if you're not vaccinated, give it some thought. It certainly will remove the burden that is being placed on our healthcare system. So with that aside, you jump right into, so, you know, who is Dr. Diggis? This is unusual because usually conversations like these are ones that I have privately with individuals with whom I mentor or individuals to whom I lecture, individuals with whom I work.
Yeah. I'm the only person here today.
So we'll have a private conversation.
Private conversation.
Yeah, an eavesdropping from a curious public.
Right.
So, you know, I represent the over-the-hill Black Bahamian who has taken a look at all that's possible, and this is going to be a recurring theme, all that's possible and what makes you successful in the Bahamas and what makes you successful in the world. Mm-hmm. And I have asked myself that bold question, what exactly is my role? What is it that my Creator has intended me to do? What contributions am I expected to make? Mm-hmm. And from a legacy perspective, what is the real difference that I am able to make? And it's those questions that drive me into providing you an answer with who is Dr. Charles Diggis. I am Charles Diggis Jr. There is a senior, and it would be useless for me to speak of myself without speaking of my dad and the profound influence that he continues to have on me. He's deceased now for about a decade, just over a decade. But his values and his vision for his family explain a lot of why I am where I am and what it is that I represent in the places that I represent me and by extension him.
A true representation of ancestry.
Yes.
And the whole idea of moving forward from one generation to the next, laying a platform so that the other one climb higher.
Absolutely. He set a bar, he set a standard, and he, you know, in the current context, handed over the baton.
Yes.
Very humbly and very clearly, indicating that the opportunities that laid ahead for his family were basically up to each one of us to take. And there happened not to be limits on those opportunities. Those limits will be defined by ourselves in our various professions. And we have actually gone on. I consider that I'm very proud of my siblings. Take every opportunity to let them know I'm proud of, you know, all that they continue to achieve as we make the blur of contributions and making a difference in the growth of the Bahamas, but more especially in how we interact with the Bahamians.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much the how we construct the economy or contribute to the economy. It's really how we influence the lives of Bahamians. That's where, to me,
at the individual
the excitement
level.
Comes. Absolutely.
You know, you started the conversation with a very important word, and I neglected to say to the listeners who are eavesdropping in on our conversation that I entitled this show Journey to Best. And you will understand as we go through this conversation. And I also took the liberty of attaching to that Journey to Best the pursuit of greatness. The pursuit of greatness is the tagline for an organization that I have. And in preparing for the show, I realized that there were certain commonalities between the way Dr. Diggers sees the world and the way I seek to see the world. And there's a fundamental and important difference between those two statements. The limitlessness of possibility. As an over-the-hill boy, and for our international listeners, that would be the equivalent of being from inner city. How important is that as an element in your own personal growth and development, but not simply to the point where you have now achieved or you're moving in the direction of achieving significance, but what you do from that point henceforth?
Well, Hubert, let me first commend you, and I will do that as often as I can, on your pursuit to greatness. It is impressive, and you know, like minds and like pilgrims in this journey, we have many more conversations to come. But I do want to take pause here and commend you for that effort and offer my participation at any point where you believe I can bring value. The benefit of being born over the hill at that time is really important. You have to appreciate that there was this empowerment of blackness in the 50s.
Yes.
And my parents were basically of an era where they were encouraged to invest in the education of their children.
Yeah. Their names?
This is Charles and Annie Marie Diggers.
Yeah.
Both who are now deceased.
We often neglect to do that. We keep saying my father, my mother. But I like to call names.
So Charles Sr.
Yes.
And Annie Marie decided as a team that they would invest in the education of their children. And they would also set a standard which was a middle class type of values, middle class standard of living.
Yeah.
And so Charles Sr. decided that he would do quite a number of very notable things. Like we had, I think, the first inside bathroom and inside toilet in our community through our corner. And there were a number of firsts. He was not afraid to be first. And I think there's no question that the courage of being first or the courage to step out into what's first and what's different is probably something that I get very easily from him. So my view then is a view of the commitment and the courage and the application of parents who consistently applied values and standards and vision to us so that we were on a steady course. Mm-hmm. And that was overlaid by my grandmother, this is my father's mother, who was also a constant presence, but her presence was a member of the team. So she reinforced the message of my parents. And the culture or the style, the manner of their bringing us up, it was keep us all as busy as often as we are awake and keep us focused, keep us in a grateful and appreciative zone, and expose us to and promote Christian values.
Right.
So that view, Hubert, then would account for the kind of foundation that would have been laid for us. And as we navigated through from Baintown through QC on to tertiary level education and then in a global space to return, that view, that grounding, I find, is really important. The ease of returning to base, the ease of returning to humble beginnings, not being afraid to become great or greater, but always anchored in a reality.
So effectively, the early work of your parents, both mother, father, and grandmother, created an environment where your comfort zone, so to speak, at least for that time, shifted to one where you're not feeling any tension in moving into your greatness. You are at a place where there is an expectation, there is a vision, there is a view that a roadmap has been laid for you to step into that. So the only thing you're looking for now is, as you said, looking at the possibilities, the limitlessness of them from your perspective, and waiting for the opportunity.
Absolutely. And what was interesting as well is that there were no contrary voices in the immediate community.
Yeah.
They all were layers upon layers.
So there was consistency in the conditioning.
Absolutely.
There was consistency in the message.
Yes.
And so consequently, they would have, whether this was their intent, they would have cleared out the friction.
Yeah, because of how my parents were perceived and because of shared values in the community, then it became very easy. You know, I was in that generation where others would discipline us if they felt the need to. And this was condoned by my parents.
Right.
When you look at organizations like the Boys Brigade, I was a part of First Bahamas Boys Brigade, Wesley Methodist Church, Grantstown, Penn Brigade, if you like. And it was organizations like these where leaders were authorized implicitly by the mere fact that we were put in those organizations. They were authorized to extend the same discipline, extend the same value set into us. So this was all a part of a strong community investment. And as you put it, it's channeling us into what's possible.
What's possible. So in Bohemian parlance, you're the boy from over the hill.
That's correct.
Coming from a lower demographic, middle class thinking, upper middle class thinking, top of the world conditioning. And you're now moving into a space where you're getting into your professional strides. You're now starting to think about careers. Obviously, we know that you're a doctor. But take us through that early process. You going off to school, becoming a surgeon, becoming a doctor. Talk to us about the early years.
Yeah, education was strong in the household, and we were curious. So my father made investments, as much as it was expensive, into the encyclopedia sets. I think most households would have had that parental investment made. That became a cornerstone investment, you know, if you want your kids to really pursue educational heights. You had either the Collier's or the Britannica, you know. And I became fascinated by laying out the encyclopedias and just exploring the biggest words, thinking at one time that words like ophthalmology and neurosurgery and anything else you could connect to it would be very interesting pursuits. So against that backdrop, I think it's important then to look at the experience of Queen's College for us at that time. And for me especially, back in 1963, 64, I was actually the first black student in my class. So I switched from a black space into a 100% white space at the age of 9. Now, that was a shock to the system. And I remember when I was taken to do the exam and my dad left me, and then he came back and picked me up, and then in about 2 weeks, bang, I was into QC. And I remember the first day I showed up and I sat down, and the student, the girl next to me, she got up and left. And these were not reactions that I was accustomed to, because I was... My sisters would probably argue, even though my parents didn't, you know, overtly show it, but I was brought up like the prince, you know. The investments were made and allowances were made, all within certain boundaries. But at no point in time did I feel rejection or being rejected in any sense, or that I was so significantly different that I would actually cause repulsion in somebody. So you can imagine at the age of 9 having somebody do that, looking around and seeing no familiarity at all, teacher through students. Well, that experience basically drove me, was the beginning of driving me within myself, driving me to realize that this journey I must navigate. And it was not without turbulence, and was not even without question. My dad, Charles Sr., is a very quiet person, and so I could not challenge him when he came to pick me up. That would make no sense. I would lose that discussion. I would lose that battle. And that would also cause a disappointment within him that I would never want to put to him. So I simply got driven by the fact that he had this expectation. He's exposing us to this particular opportunity, and he's making a tremendous sacrifice. And that became the driver. Interesting side story. When I was maybe 7 or 8, and it was discovered that I needed glasses, and my falling grades started to tell the story that I couldn't see the board, and I got my eyes tested, then I got my glasses, and it's almost prophetic. The students, my peers, started to tease me, and they kept calling me Doc in a derogatory manner. They felt like my wearing of glasses caused me to look like a doctor, which in their teasing was derogatory. Well, you know, fate is a funny thing. And I gave that tremendous thought and decided that, yeah, I think this is what I'm going to be. So I didn't have a dilemma deciding that I was going to be a doctor. Yeah. That was a pretty straightforward thing, decided by the teasing of students.
You said something very important. I think it's important. But you said your circumstances, you getting into QC, being in an all-white school, drove you within. Very, very important, at least from my perspective. What then did you find when you went on the inside of young Charles Diggis?
I found, as I would find in my fascination with bad weather and hurricanes, the ability to think profoundly. And I found that I had an amazing enjoyment of these moments. And as I got older, I made full use of any ability for solitude, any opportunity just to be in a space that I could be with my thoughts. And I had no fear for where my thoughts went. And I had all regard for the development of my intuition, the voice inside that would reinforce what I thought. Because I realized early on that I was committed to different, that I was not going to be a normal child or normal person.
And you were comfortable with different.
That is so important, Hubert. That is, maybe, you know, that's an echo that could come out of this conversation, mm-hmm. that one needs to confront after introspection, confront very early on that there is comfort, there is peace
in being different.
Because
after all, isn't that which I think wreaks the greatest level of violence on our minds? Am I being accepted? Are they going to reject me? Is that good enough for them? If they reject it, then they see it as being different. If you're okay with them rejecting that, then you should be fine.
You're right. And, you know, an extension of your point, the ability for me to see beyond the rejection.
On the other side of the rejection.
Yes. Ability is strongly tied to somewhere deep inside, coming to terms with the fact that this is my journey.
Yes.
And this will be repeated, though I knew it not at the time, but this will be repeated as I navigated through. And the interesting thing is, even when the class, I spent 2 years in QC being the only black student, and then the class became almost 50% black in the third year. Very interesting when I discovered that I was still different. I did not relate initially with the new wave of black students that came in. Now, whether I'd been culturated or whether something had happened, I didn't recognize or identify strongly with the white students. They were either associates, a couple of them were friends of mine, but I didn't recognize this wave that came in. So you can imagine the dilemma of the mix of a relief that more people like me have finally come in. And then I had to take a step back to realize that, but this is still different. And I made great friends. I made great great black friends. My best friend today is a white guy. He and I went to school together, and treasured friend.
Yeah.
And as I appreciated that it's not black, it's not white, it's really you. It's what you become and what you come to terms with as you navigate in your core. You're right. Yeah. Now, at that age, it is difficult. It's fumbly. It's turbulent. I went through some reactions as I got into middle school and then high school. You know, I did all the things that students should not do. You know, I pushed it to the limit. And a turning point, in fact, was a teacher who, you know, brought me to tears when she pulled me aside and said, why are you wasting your father's money? And we had a moment where she just simply allowed the gravity of this misdirection that I had taken. She allowed the gravity of that to sit with me. She didn't pummel me with questions. She didn't come at me with layers upon layers of how you should behave. She literally held me in the silence of a moment, challenging me with one question. Why are you wasting your father's money? Why are you wasting his sacrifice and investment in you?
She again forced you back within.
Back within.
Powerful. Dr. Digges, the boy from over the hill, the individual who a casual observer may say is an introvert, a loner back then, has grown up to become a significant contributor in the healthcare space, a significant contributor, a significant businessman. There are many persons who today in the Bahamas do not fully appreciate your central role in many new developments, in many innovations which take place right here in the Bahamas. So as we transition from your early career, you're moving now into, getting your feet under you in terms of moving through and becoming a professional. You are a surgeon, you are spending some time at the PMH, and then you're transitioning into the
private segment of healthcare. Talk to us about that, and talk to us about why is it that the discovery that I've made in preparation for this show isn't evident when you casually observe Dr. Digges.
So we go to 1987. I'm returning from surgical training and qualifying in Glasgow, Scotland. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming back and I'm meeting the obligations that I made prior to leaving that I would come back and run A&E, PMH. So I'm right back into the jungle. Things are challenging, as you can imagine. It's a very challenging job, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. The ease of being responsible for something is sometimes it puts a quiet amazement within myself that there is no difficulty that I have in being responsible for. I'm not necessarily the one who's going to jump up and you need to hear my voice. No, I wouldn't want you to hear my voice if you didn't want to. Mm-hmm. That's part of the problem. But should you challenge me to be responsible for it, the ease with which I do it sometimes, that, like I say, that brings me some amazement. Because I believed between 1987 and 1989 that I was about to make a profound difference in how things worked in A&E. And my first lesson to my team was everybody on the ground, including myself. We need not work in a hierarchical sense. Mm-hmm. So anybody who could contribute, and I was a surgeon, so I could mix between taking care of trauma cases in the emergency room, and then days that I happen to be on call for surgery, I can move those patients almost seamlessly through to make sure that they got the most effective care. But then we move into 1989, when I come to a realization that I think it's important to share. And it's important because often persons who work at PMH come to me and they talk about leaving PMH. And this is a moment where I push back at them and I ask, well, what's wrong with PMH? And I know they're going to come with a litany. And so I ask, well, why are you leaving? Because if you give me a list of 20 or 30 things or 50, 100 things that are wrong, that sounds like you can get pretty busy to me. That's a reason to stay. Mm-hmm. So why are you leaving? So that gets a little perplexing for just for a moment. I relieve them of that anxiety and say to them, I need you to think about why you are coming here. The driver has to be not what you're leaving. The driver has to be where you are going. You have to have come to a realization that there is something else in addition for you to do. And there is a drive within you that's telling you, you are not likely to achieve it in the space. PMH happens to be a space. Amazing things happen at PMH. Wonderful, well-qualified people work at PMH. PMH in and of itself is not the problem. It's an overwhelming issue. It's almost economics when you look at PMH. It's just simply been overwhelmed. It's just too much to do by too few, mm-hmm. in too small a space, etc. But I don't want, and I will not want, persons who come to me in the future to bring me a story of a treasured place like PMH. PMH has treasures to me. I did amazing things with amazing people. We did some innovative stuff. We got into advanced trauma life support certification. And these are new things where people feel more equipped, more competent to provide care based on certifications, which has now become just commonplace. So my launch pad then in the 87 to 89 experience is to challenge an individual that you want to pay much more attention to why you're going and what you're going to, and diminish all of that energy that you've been spending in, this is why I have to leave. I certainly am not interested in it. I think I'll spend a little time just to, you know, humor you. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to be impressed with why you want to leave. I'm going to be absolutely listening, though, when you tell me why do you want to come and join this journey?
Yes. I think it's important. I've had the opportunity to interact with individuals, and I would say to them, be careful that you're not running. Because then running becomes a learned behavior and a way of coping with challenges. So rather than moving purposefully towards something else, you're running away from a challenge. And the way life has it is that regardless of where you go, there's going to be challenges. And so as soon as you learn how to run, you just run a little bit faster.
That's a great point, Hubert, because what I discovered is that the challenges simply began. Mm-hmm. The enormity, the scope. When I looked at what was possible, understanding that Doctors Hospital at the time was not Doctors Hospital, Ranson Hospital was boutique. Mm-hmm. There was no 24/7 emergency service. There was a little emergency or urgent care center. And then everything was now in the creation space. Mm-hmm. Everything had to be first. 24/7 commitment to, it's an interesting conversation I had with Barry Rassen back at the time when I decided, listen, I'm going to take over the running of the emergency room. And he said, well, Dr. Diggers, I would love you to do that because, you know, we're struggling with trying to find physicians and all that. And I said to him, well, I'll take that problem on. And from that formal agreement in 1991 until now, 24/7, holiday, storm, great times, difficult times, uninterrupted, 24/7 emergency physician coverage. One of the companies that I'm involved with, the principal of, continues to provide uninterrupted, guaranteed emergency physician services. Mm. It is that kind of commitment when you start to put layers upon layers of additional responsibilities and additional challenges that you take on with energy and excitement, as you appreciate, and enthusiasm, the triple E's, mm-hmm. when you bring them into the challenge and you make things happen. Few words, most times, but laser-focused, getting it done. And sometimes, you know, you have to suffer quietly. And there was a lot of suffering in the early days. Mm-hmm. As you can imagine, the natural S-curve of trying to get something going, and you imagine an S, mm-hmm. it dives initially.
Yes.
And in that dive, there's the punishment and the test mm-hmm. of whether you have the resilience to stay this course. Yeah. You will be tested. And I've watched individuals walk away from and step off some opportunities. And it saddened me to see them do it, because my two cents with them would be just navigate the S.
You have to stay the course.
Yes.
As we're going to go into a break before we kind of shift this conversation, because I see you're raring to go in a place where I am dying for you to go. But right now, you sit as the most significant shareholder in Doctors Hospital, aren't you not?
The major shareholder, yes.
You're the major shareholder. So the young boy from over the hill who transitioned to QC, who made, cut his teeth, so to speak, at PMH, is now sitting as the major shareholder of one of the most significant healthcare provider within the country. Absolutely, without, I think, PMH and kind of filling the gap between what the public sector can do and the private sector can do, the country would be different. How important is that? Because when many of us see doctors, we don't see Dr. Diggers.
And that's great. And that is an important part of branding. Because if you believe in creating something bigger than yourself, which is branded "Not You." Mm-hmm. In every corner of the Bahamas, if I go down to Mayaguana and something happens and somebody says, "We need to go to doctors," there's no question about where that destination is. Mm-hmm. So to invest strongly and quietly in creating a brand, but not making the brand synonymous with you, not taking that hubristic approach, the all about me. The greatness of Doctors Hospital being a part of an investment and a creation and a very intentional organization that I completely believe by 2025 can become so significant, frighteningly so. Nothing short of a $1 billion company to me is the possibilities that can loom. And it is not only about the dollar value of the company. It is about the commitment and the foresight to explore everything that is possible for Doctors Hospital in an alternative healthcare space that sits in a private sector, initially in the Bahamas, but that can extend beyond, taking the culture and the vision of providing an amazing healthcare experience the way that we're doing it, so that the name Doctors resounds. And if that becomes at some point synonymous with Dr. Diggins, that's fine. I'll take that side effect. But that's not my mission. My mission is to sit back, you know, in an airplane and hear people talking about doctors, and they not necessarily know that the principal of doctors is actually sitting, you know, somewhere behind them. Mm-hmm. But they don't recognize me necessarily. That I completely enjoy.
Powerful, powerful. I think there was one great mind which says the best way for leading is to lead in such a way that no one knows that you are there. We're going to take ourselves a break here. We're having this wonderful conversation with Dr. Charles Diggins, the young man with a curious mind, the young man whose trajectory and foundation was laid by parents who said, here is where we are today, but here is the thinking that we are going to create. And so I just want to read for you a quote from my book, Think, Act, Grow, Thoughts and Reflection for Self-Leadership. And it says, you will never be greater than your greatest dream. You will always be lesser than your greatest fear. Live life without limits. Dream big. Be fearless. Somewhere along the conversation, I thought I heard Dr. Diggins say that. You're listening to The Essentials, The Reset. Come right back.
Enjoy an elevated mobile experience with BTC giving you
unlimited talk for the best conversations,
unlimited data for all your online fun,
and unlimited roaming to stay connected while overseas
for just $50 per line.
Unlock unlimited mobile talk, data, and roaming when you sign up for BTC Superfast Fiber Internet with speed starting at 100 megabits per second. Enjoy more great savings and value. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or btcbahamas.com. Conditions apply.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to The Essentials, The Reset. We're having a conversation here with Dr. Charles Diggers, Principal, President, and CEO of Doctors Hospital. And it's a conversation which is really transcending the man. He said very clearly, while I am the major shareholder, how good would it be for the entity which I am driving through a vision becomes known, and I remain unknown and unattached as far as the public is concerned. But as you would agree, listener, just listening to Dr. Diggers, there is clearly a profound philosophical grounding at work here. And so we are going to switch this conversation. I think we're going for a little bit of a deeper dive. Dr. Diggers, you're philosophical stance, if I was to ask you, wake you up in the middle of the night, the dead of the night, when you are in your deepest sleep and say, what is your closest held philosophical position? What would that be?
So in this deep dive, Hubert, I'm going to reframe that as why are you here? This is probably my most uncomfortable slide in the GLOW Journey to Best series. It asks the question, why are you here? Because your philosophy, meaning what it is that you happen to be about in life and what has come to constitute that, that philosophy comes out of your answer to the question about your purpose.
Yes.
And your meaning, and how you interpret that meaning of life. And it is an extremely difficult question because it begins with something like, I believe. And once you start the sentence, I believe that I am a part of something great, something immense, something huge. I believe I am a child of God who is destined to do, and you fill in the blanks. Mm-hmm. But it's driven by I believe, and it's going to challenge you to have a belief mm-hmm. in you. What is that belief that you have in you that establishes why are you here on earth first? And it's a difficult question because I frame for the audience, imagine you did not really ask to be here. In fact, you really didn't ask at all. When you discovered that you were here, the game was already in motion. Time goes in one direction, and time is unforgiving. You don't get it back. You can repeat the mistakes of the past, but the big opportunities that sit in front of you come with no guarantees. Mm-hmm. You're stuck. You're stuck on this one-way track called life. The only way off is if you decide that you're going to check out early. But you know that it will end. So here's the difficulty. You don't participate in the beginning. You only discover at some point that you're on it. It has a bunch of rules and guides and boundaries. It has opportunities that are difficult sometimes and challenging. It has pain. It has contrasts, joy and pain. It has happiness and disappointment. It's selective. It's unfair. It has so many dimensions to it that can either catapult you into great success or condemn you through one choice, one bad decision, condemn you to street walking. That is what you discover you're on. And my question then is still, in the midst of all of that confusion, why are you here? What is it that you seek to do? Do you believe in becoming a part of or creating something bigger than yourself? If your answer to that question is yes, I'm excited about that, then our conversation can really get some momentum now.
Yes.
Now that I have you excited about creating something and being a part of something bigger than yourself, then we segue quite comfortably into my maxim. Then you really are attracted to the opportunities amidst that pot of turmoil that life brings. Like me, you're simply looking for opportunity.
You talk about the ravages of life. Yeah, there's no guarantees. But the place you start is important, because wouldn't you not need to come to an awareness of the need to always go back to, I believe? Because even when your desired outcome is different, when the outcome is different from that which you desire, you must still answer, or at least ask yourself, do you still believe that you are who you say you are?
Quite true, Hubert. You know, even if you don't verbalize it,
you are asking.
It will be tested.
Yes.
You will be tested from time to time on the foundational strength of what you believe. How committed and convinced are you? And to what extent would you actually pursue and have that belief prevail when you are tested, when you are in the storm? And there are moments in a storm where either you become more comfortable or you become more afraid. And fortunately for persons who would have had the amazing opportunities and experiences like myself, storm brings more resolve. It is quite clear.
Hardens you.
What we need to do.
Yes.
Yes.
So once an individual locks into that the bigness of possibility. And, you know, not to get too philosophical and over the head with persons, but, you know, I like this sort of stuff. These are conversations that you're having with the big you. The you which is beyond your physicality, isn't it?
Correct. And there's some truths. And we can start to then go into some truths.
Yes.
Focus on what you control. Reject for another time what you do not control. In the do not control resides distractions. Distractions do not contribute to your growth. Distractions do not contribute to your journey. Focus laser-like and take the incremental victories. It's not the noise in the market. Smile when you get so many opinions given, because opinions prolific from so many quarters. Use your filter. Don't exercise the arrogance of simply dismissing the words of whom you believe happen to be ignorant, because sometimes the ignorant gives you a gem. Mm-hmm. So stay open to the profound simplicity of whom you regard to be ignorant. Stay open, but exercise and put in place your filters so that you are able to take out of messages. But be mindful of what you control. Stay in that space.
Yes.
Change what you control. And if you can't, leave it for another time. When it becomes within the sphere of your control, then influence it. That has brought me amazing comfort, both in terms of, you know, my career in medicine or surgery, being a surgeon, making decisions in surgery, making decisions in business, bringing up kids, wonderful family. And I give, you know, all shouts out to my family, my mother-in-law, my wife, Ciara, and our, you know, amazing children, all different personalities. But the messaging that I would give to them is, take some of the nuggets and the pearls, especially my grown-up children, and she and I continue to, quote-unquote, struggle with just getting them to see that if you are mindful of this huge opportunity ahead of you, and if you peel away and reject distractions,
yes,
you are able to become much more efficient in your journey, and you don't have to be like any one of us. You have to be like you. And in being like you and in finding what it is that perhaps is there for your destiny, remove the anchors of distraction.
And so we get into this idea of journey to best. And that seemed to permeate not only through your personal life, but your business life as an entrepreneur, as a surgeon. But there are a couple of things which I've learned in my preparation here, and that's I call them the triple E's: energize, excited, and enthusiastic. Talk to us about that, and talk to us about how you frame that within the context of dealing with individuals and looking at them through what you refer to as this three dimension of an individual, that is their personal side from a happiness perspective, their professional side, and then there's also the organization or strategic. Talk to us.
So the GLOW Journey to Best had its beginning, its infancy in 2014. Between 2014 and 2016, I did a bunch of reading into this space. And what fascinated me is, how do you get individuals motivated to bring their A game into your space, whether that's, you know, any kind of business? How do you get them to do what you truly cannot pay them to do? Because if you believe in exponential growth, which I completely believe in, then for you to get exponential growth, you need to have a team of individuals who are all out. I mean, when they cannot wait to get into the workspace. They cannot wait to contribute. You could feel, through the passion, you can feel the excitement, the energy, and the enthusiasm. So how do we get to that? Well, when you peel away all of the barriers to excitement, enthusiasm, and energy, you find the question, are you personally happy? Because that great barrier is unhappiness. If you're not happy, if you have so much on you, you created a personal state impairment score, a tool to use to determine when individuals come and join our cohort, to what extent are you just drowning in a number of stresses? And we're finding, and this is what we'll publish, we're finding that there's a straight correlation between the extent to which individuals need help now and whether they bring energy, enthusiasm, and excitement into the workspace. No surprise, but at least you get some kind of objective measure that you can now write about. So personal happiness. You may not want to be as intrusive and inquisitive with individuals about their own personal life, but you have to then facilitate their journey out of unhappiness. So we spend time either plugging them into counselors, or they get some moments with me. They pick whichever they wish. And our job is to get them to next.
Right. And this is what you do with your staff at whatsoever business organization you are involved in. This is what you do with individuals who may have the opportunity to plug into you as a mentor. This is what you do, the lens through which you see. You've created a framework through which you can help an individual to move from wheresoever they are at the moment to get to that level where they're looking at possibilities in a limitless way.
Quite true. And unfortunately, that creates a joke about, you know, coming to have an audience or meeting with me, mm-hmm. Usually persons who are aware of my simple but, you know, perhaps profound style would advise individuals, you got to get your game clear, though. Mm-hmm. Don't go in there with confusion. Go in there with clarity on what it is you seek. And even if they don't, because I try to disarm anybody who come to see me, because I realize that they may have a particular perception that causes them to be a little more frightened than they should be. Mm-hmm. My own opinion of myself is that I'm probably the nicest guy in the room in a conversation. So, you know, there's no need for that yeah. fright. But I appreciate that, okay, whatever perception you have of whomever I am or whatever I've achieved is causing you to have some impediment to your ability to just release, yeah. then I'll disarm them by coming into meeting them where they are, yes. and then trying to navigate with them. I'll walk with you through a conversation, because my entire goal in the conversation is not me. It may be amazing. I really do not like, and sometimes I completely reject the path that goes into talking about what I've done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to me, that's not going to help you. I have to focus as much as I can in any interaction on what can I do for you.
Yes.
And for me to do that, I need to hear you. I need to hear what journey you're on. And if I am so privileged to be in a position to facilitate your move to next, mm-hmm. then I have a moment of fulfillment and gratification. So
on this journey to best, there are milestones. And that each milestone comes with a simple name, right? Next.
That's correct. I mean, we have the five Fs. We talk about friendship, family, finances, faith and fitness. Mm-hmm. And this comes out of Erin Harnish's publication, Scaling Up. And there are a number of references, you know, prolific number of references. But we pay a lot of attention to these dimensions because we truly believe that you have to pay attention to your health. You don't have to be crazy about it. You don't have to be consumed with it, but pay attention. You have to pay attention to your finances. You have to get that right. If the money ain't right,
yeah, something is going to be
you ain't
wrong.
Gonna be happy.
For real.
You know, and then the interesting slide that I put up is, you know, friendship is overrated. Not to diminish how significant friendship indeed happens to be, mm-hmm. but just to encourage individuals, be more comfortable in your skin. In your private moments, in your introspective moments, love yourself.
Yeah. Don't walk around the world with crutches. You know, you have to do that. Now, we talked earlier about your big person. And one of the things you said to me when we spoke yesterday is, you know, how do you move an individual from inertia or a thinking from inertia and a casual view to create that fire, to ignite it so that the individual, the system, the process, the organization starts to appreciate that there is greater capacity than initially thought of.
So I use my example. I look like you. Mm-hmm. I come from a place like you. You know, I give them the joke. I wasn't born in Old Fort Bay. You know, what does that do for you?
Yeah.
Does that tell you then that you are able to look into what's possible? Yeah. So that's my first step. Are you able to see what's possible? And then I lay out for you what I believe to be the possibilities in the maxim opportunity advantaging those who are best prepared, best planned, and best positioned. Does that get you at least more curious? So we're not into the triple E's yet, but are you curious that because you've looked at possibilities, you're now into opportunity. And I'm saying to you, though, for you to get the best out of the opportunities, for you to advantage yourself, then think about where you are right now. Your journey has preparation, planning, and positioning attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can add the other P's of perseverance, persistence, patience, and prayer. They also attach to it. But the core P's, the reason why you study harder to get the better grade is because you seek to put yourself in a position where you would be favored or advantaged for whatever the next opportunity is. And the wonderful thing that I shared with you about opportunity is your preparation is for things unknown. And a part of your belief set has to be that you are absolutely committed to wherever that destiny is going to take you. You don't need to know. You just need to be on the trajectory. You don't need to know exactly where it will land, where it will end. You just need to be thrilled by the fact that the Creator has blessed you and you are taking the full opportunity of that blessing
mm-hmm.
in exploring and exploiting what's possible.
Right.
And you're taking that ride. And you don't know exactly where it's going, but oh, does it not feel so good right now knowing that you're right in that flow.
And you need to have directional clarity.
Especially in terms of where you should not be going.
Exactly. Because like you say, you may not know where it is, but knowing where it's not.
Correct.
Is absolutely important. The idea when one would maybe listen to you, Dr. Diggers, you start to get the idea that, you know, you're a bit of a very voracious reader. I would go as far as to say, you know, a strategic genius. Your leadership philosophy is built on building the human, and then they take care of the rest. It is as in our preparation, you mentioned this idea the book by Bob Berg, The Go-Giver. Rather than the go-getter is the go-giver, where there is this philosophical underpinning that through your own giving, through your own helping of individuals, you glean important benefit, important value. But most fundamental, you keep the human being and their humanity at the center of whatsoever the transaction is.
That's so well put, Hubert, so well put, because if asked about what do I regard as my greatest strategy,
mm-hmm.
it would not have been the smartness to, you know, buy an amazing amount of shares low and see the value now at 7 to 10 times what I purchased. Some would say, wow, I mean, that's a strike. That's really huge. No, that's not my most amazing or strategic move. My most amazing and strategic move happened from the time I started to encounter individuals. It's in the investment in the relationship and using every relationship as an opportunity to strike a chord of interest in the journey. Is there a way, it's like the most healthy quid pro quo. Is there a way that I can help you to become great? I mean, I love it. There's no question about whether I'm impassioned by the greatness mm-hmm. in individuals. That's what I get off on. If I could do 2 cents, 5 cents, or a dollar to facilitate you to your greatness and just watch that flourish,
mm-hmm.
that to me is amazing. And that part of the quid brings the quote. And the quote to me is simple. Would you be interested in participating with me in making something huge?
Bigger than us.
Much bigger.
You said, in the pursuit of possibility, and this pursuit of possibility leads to greatness, or success, or significance, depending on how persons want to coin that, the most important thing for you is the recognition that in every single individual, there is greatness.
Absolutely.
It's not something which rests easily with society these days, though?
Well, I won't apologize for society. You know, in lots of ways, I'm that contrarian mind.
Yes,
if you like, I am that disruptor. Quietly, because my belief is if I can meet you wherever you are and I can cause you to just turn on your turbo to launch yourself into a journey to best.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be a little nuanced. It's not a journey to excellence. Excellence along the way is interesting. From my commentary on winners as opposed to those who made the eligibles.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the eligibles much more than the winners. Winners, from time to time, each of us become a winner in whatever race in life we run. But for the most part, most of us are really participating at a different level.
Yeah.
And in that participation, we may finish, but we may not finish first. But we finish. But we finish in a way that stamps our greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And we take that and we add that on to the next leg of our journey and we focus on what is it that I need to do to optimize my capability, my capacity, so I perform at my greatest level. So I'm not looking at anybody else who may be either to the side, ahead, or behind me. I simply hit the tape and I say to myself, wow, that really felt good. And as I move on to the next phase of life, the next accomplishment, the next challenge, and I kick my turbos again,
mm-hmm.
the only mission that I'm on, almost with blinders, is, Lord, give me the strength and the courage to put the best of me in this part of this journey.
Yes. So it's always another move to next as we move up the journey on the path to best. I think the message is profound. It's not simply about winning or losing, but ensuring that you understand the greatness within you and working in such a way, igniting yourself, becoming excited and becoming enthusiastic about operating within a space. If you want to call it a space of excellence, then that's fine. But you operating each time at your best, like a thoroughbred with blinders. The only thing you see is the end goal in front of you. And so we're having this wonderful conversation. I wish I had a couple more hours to go on this, but you know the way life is. So we're going to take ourselves a quick break here. And when we come back, we're just going to jump into some other aspects very quickly. One quote as we go out. Things do not make us happy or successful. The value we bring to others and the spiritual fulfillment we receive from our endeavors are most important. Again, I believe that somewhere in your conversation, that nugget existed. You're listening to The Essentials, The Reset. We're having a wonderful conversation with the major shareholder, the principal, the president and CEO of Doctors Hospital, Dr. Charles Diggis, the man from over the hill. The man who has a philosophy which says, at the center of it all is you, the human being, the humanity in you. Come right back.
The best. best jerk in the Bahamas, you must have Balu's. Pork, fish, and chicken served with our delicious country-style sauce and authentic festivals. Balu's, Nassau East South. Call or WhatsApp 376-8951. Balu's, the jerk with the soul of reggae and the spirit of Junkanoo. Balu's jerk, traditional, slow-cooked to perfection. 376-8951. Get yours today.
Enjoy an elevated mobile experience with BTC giving you
unlimited talk for the best conversations,
unlimited data for all your online fun,
and unlimited roaming to stay connected while overseas
for just $50 per line.
Unlock unlimited mobile talk, data, and roaming when you sign up for BTC Superfast Fiber Internet with speeds starting at 100 megabits per second. Enjoy more great savings and value. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or btcbahamas.com. Conditions apply.
When does a simple meal become exceptional? You guessed it, when it's made the Fresh Market way. We're talking exquisite cuts of fresh meat, succulent fresh seafood options, the best in fresh produce, and who can forget our exotic spices and herbs? Come on, get ready to shake up your taste buds and let our aisles inspire your inner food genius. Homemade salted caramel ice cream? Egg noodle stir fry? Time to walk and roll. Slow-smoked beef ribs? Oh, baby! Remember, go fresh and craft delicious with Fresh Market.
I don't know if it's the way the sauce is prepared, but I could literally eat Balu's jerk all day. I mean, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's very addictive, and I encourage everyone to try it at least once. And I promise you, it won't be the last.
Big up Balu's jerk, the best authentic yard jerk chicken spot on the island. And that's the thing. Big up yourself, Balu's.
Balu's jerk is the best in town. Their meat and their sauce is on point. You gotta try
it. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to The Essentials here on Guardian Radio. The Essentials, The Reset. We're having a conversation with a man from the healthcare, an entrepreneur. But more importantly, we are getting a philosophical masterclass. A masterclass in how you lead. A masterclass in how you see persons. A masterclass in how you do what you do so that you can empower others. With every step, the vision becomes a little bit clearer. Directional clarity is necessary, even when the how remains uncertain. A quote from Think, Act, Grow, Thoughts and Reflections of Self-Leadership by yours truly. Dr. Digges, we have a couple of minutes. Let's talk about this idea, or at least ask you to share with us how all of these things translate into some of the outreach that you do from Doctors Hospital, how you may be helping young people looking into the future, and how you use this type of thinking to frame the value proposition of the business.
So Doctors Hospital's value proposition is that it will be the exemplary corporate citizen. It will bring value not only in the healthcare space, but to an extent in the welfare space, in the education space. We will extend ourselves, depending on how far our capacity allows us, into anything that can enrich the lives of the communities that we serve.
A major player in the social sector.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and towards that end, we have an initiative called Growing Our Own. This initiative is not a mystery. Because we are so short on requisite professionals right now, especially in the current COVID pandemic, we appreciate the shortage of nurses and respiratory therapists, etc. The list is long. And we also know that even without COVID, as we create additional facilities, another hospital in Grand Bahama, an impressive project, outpatient center at Town Center Mall. There's so much that we have on our slate. We need good people. The only way, to me, for us to project successfully like that into the future is to invest in Bahamians today. And that means we start early. We start from cadet programs, and we segue into our Bridge to the Future program, which then blends into our STEP, Summer Temporary Employment Program for students. And we move into the support of college-bound students or students who happen to be pre-medical or in medical school. We provide them exposures in our healthcare spaces, attachments, so that they become so motivated and so excited about the career that they have chosen. Mm-hmm. It allows them to see into the future. That spectrum, to me, is an intentional strategy of doctors, hospitals, investment in people. Strong part of what tomorrow's harvest mm-hmm. will look like. And some will say, oh, doctors, hospitals, so lucky they have all these good people. Yes, I'd enjoy that commentary. But that is going to be based on focused investment today in a spectrum of Bahamians at varying levels.
And then that naturally ties into the value proposition and the strategic outlook of Doctors Hospital. You have a set of core values, we care. Talk to us about we care and how do you see Doctors Hospital contributing? You mentioned being a big player in the social sector, but I believe, especially with the experience of going through COVID and this pandemic, that there is a greater economic contribution that can inure to an economy through the healthcare sector. We have heard and we have read of strategic partnerships between yourself and Cleveland Clinic and so on and so forth. Talk to us. Take us down that road. When you think about Doctors Hospital and its interaction with the patient, with the customer, with the client, what comes to mind?
I believe, Hubert, that in the future, and not too distant future, 3 to 5 years, Doctors Hospital will be in a position to export this culture, export this blend of journey to best, mm-hmm. becoming best, and our core values. It's not unique to or need be restricted to a Doctors Hospital space. It really is a workspace formula. The welcoming speaks for itself, and it could be compounded with being anticipating, the empathetic can also speak for itself, but it can also have considerate attached to it. Mm-hmm. Committed to being competent, committed to being compassionate, committed to being caring. Triple C's, very important for us. Accountability, this is where rubber meets the road on the A and the R, accountability and respect. And we continue to struggle in our workspace with this. This is not unique to us, nor unique to our industry. Simply getting individuals with power mm-hmm. to appreciate that there's no need to have overt displays of power. There's no need to be the downtrodden force upon people. Don't squash and kill the dreams of your downline, so your direct reports. Don't become so insecure by individuals who bring you misery. They're bringing you misery because you have them in the wrong place. And don't diminish their struggle by restricting them to positions below yourself. Allow them to fly. And sometimes they may have to fly in a different organization. And then excellence. Excellence is important. But as I pointed out, it is not the prevailing value. So the combination then is what we would like to package and export. And I see that being, you know, another journey. Can you imagine being able to get out there and speak to this combination of Glow Journey to Best and core values like we care, and then encouraging or exposing other industry to, well, maybe you can create your own version of this. And then changing the social fabric in that manner, changing the overall workspace culture. in that manner. That to me is, again, becoming a part of something huge.
And so the doctor's experience, the internal capacity and the internal competence, paying attention to how you develop people, how you lead them, how you seek to create guardrails so that you create an empowering and facilitative environment. This is one of the fundamental outputs. Other than the fact that you're treating patients and you're delivering above and beyond type service, which is what you want to do, but there is another derivative product, the undergirding structure or system which enables you to do that which the customer experience. That in and of itself is a tangible, intangible, but tangible asset which is exportable.
Yeah, so you speak about this undergird and the system, and it's probably the foundation of the culture that's being created in Doctors Hospital.
Yes.
Because that has to be our reference point. It's at the other end of our North Star. The North Star is what we intend to become, mm-hmm. this prolific healthcare system. But what we carry at each step into that journey, that undergirding.
That's the anchor. Yes,
absolutely. Anchor. And we reference ourselves. We keep referencing from whence we come, that history, but what we represent. What is it? Who we are and what it is that we are trying to do? And why is it that we want to make this difference? And why is it that Doctors Hospital's people are on fire? Now, this is not to say that, you know, Doctors Hospital is just not a place where you won't find issues. I completely embrace that. And I think, you know, those who are aware of my style appreciate that straight up. For whatever imperfections and errors and mistakes, I want to deal with them in this context straight up and try to process them through in the fairest way possible. Mm-hmm. But that need not derail and distract us. That's just a part of the human condition. Humans work within Doctors Hospital. And so within that system, in as much as we try to make each healthcare experience amazing within that system, yeah, we'll trip up every now and then. But when we do, let's just face that reality and then deal with that. But again, the train continues. The journey continues. The undergirding is our reference. Mm-hmm. And with that, we move with great excitement into a future because we are creating that future now.
Yes, because it is true that culture trumps strategy.
Every time.
Every single time.
Has it for breakfast.
You know, Dr. Digges, as I listen to you, I'm excited. And the reason I'm excited is that as you speak, the image which I'm conjuring up is a textbook. The books we read, the books we study, when you study strategic management and you study about business and the studies that came out of Harvard and the studies that come out of the other university, that here is an indigenous organization which have taken a body of knowledge, activate it, actionize it, put real tangibility around it, and has created a system which you are comfortable with, a system which is workable, and in my mind, a system which is much needed in the wider Bahamas.
You know, I like that segue because it's the power of reading. Whether you echo, you know, read Bahamas, read. Mm-hmm. It's powerful to appreciate that there are amazing messages in reading and in books. And the journey is an easy one. It's just a commitment for you to begin. Mm-hmm. And to change the toil of reading into the fun of reading, and then into the excitement of reading, and then into my level, the addiction to reading.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So to me, it's appreciating that for $20, $30, $40, $50, if you like a three-dimensional book like I continue to like, you get introduced to a scope of knowledge and research you know, sometimes as I read the foreword and the commentaries of those who have read, and I enjoy this before I actually get into a book and get the full appreciation that what I may be holding in my hand is 5, 7, or 10 years of thought. And at that, you know, with that in mind, I extend my commendation to you on having written, anybody who has written, because I'm still trying to get to my publication. Right. So those who have written already, my hat's off and my salute to you. You've jumped in and you've done it. Yeah. So my point is, reading provides you an opportunity to withdraw into spaces of thought already explored by others. It's you meeting their journey, and they will bathe you with all of their perspectives and knowledge and references.
Yes.
For a couple of dollars, I mean, can you imagine for $30? You pick any book that you believe to be significant, and you have to appreciate 10 years for $30. Now, the value proposition there to me is overwhelming.
Overwhelming.
Yes.
I think you're right, because, you know, after we had a discussion yesterday, I said, okay, I need to go find some things. And Daniel Pink, Drive. Human motivation is largely intrinsic. Motivation is driven by autonomy, mastery, and purpose. And I left that deliberately for last, because if the listener listened carefully, you've been saying the human being is autonomous. Let's drive him from within. Let's ensure that we get him to a level of competence, mastery, where you are responding and not reacting in an environment, and where you are pursuing the journey to best from the basis of purpose. We literally have 60 seconds left, Dr. Digges. Your final words, your final thoughts, take us home.
My final words to listening audience is, be really encouraged by your ability to take messages like this and take a step back, go into a quiet moment, and do a reset as you've brought into this space, Hubert. Do a reset and think, now I can look at what's possible in my future. I can set a North Star. I can get on a trajectory. I can explore everything that's possible. And I can dive into opportunities with an excitement and enthusiasm and energy that will make me proud. Enjoy your journey. That's my point. Enjoy your journey. If for whatever reason along the way I have the opportunity of encountering, you know, any one of you, then like pilgrim to pilgrim, I can promise you my ear. And at the end of listening, I will give you my $2, $5, $10, $50, or $1 worth of advice, if asked.
Thank you so much, Dr. Digges. It was certainly a pleasure. I totally enjoy this conversation. I think it's an incomplete conversation, one which must continue. And so we end here, and I say to you, as always, do not never allow your greatness to become a victim of your unwillingness to change. You have been listening to The Essentials, The Reset. Good night. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The Essentials, serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation.